This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at chooseprimavera.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Big moments or small moments, they all deserve great style. At Maurice's, we're here to help you show up feeling your best, no matter what's on your calendar. Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help. From tried and true denim to head-turning looks, we've got style that fits your life and your budget. Visit your local Maurice's to find fashion fit for you with a little help from us.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Gester, on a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. Glad to be with you here on a hump day. We're getting you through the middle part of the week because football starts tomorrow. We got the NFL season kicking off tomorrow. High school football technically does. For all intents and purposes, though, Friday's the day because that's when the Chiefs play. That's when most of the high schools kick off, and we get you ready for a college football weekend as well. We made it, everybody. This is the end of the non-football season, if you will, where we have Thursday night football and all the fun. So we're here for it. We've got Shreya Salata coming in today to help us break it all down for KU against Mizzou this weekend. That's coming up a little bit later. Still baseball, meaningful baseball to talk about. We'll chat Royals as well on the day. It's What's on Tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the pepperoni pizza, topped with sliced, cubed, and deli cut pepperoni. Pepperoni now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Jacob Albrock here, Tommy Caster there. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I know how much you love saying pepperoni.
I actually love that pizza. believe it or not, that's one of my faves.
It's a great way to start the day. I'm good. I'm not wearing a Hawaiian today, but at least I thought I would give you a pop of color. So it's a little bit colorful. You know, it's not Hawaiian, but you know, it's better than just wearing a gray shirt or a white shirt,
it is.
You know.
It's not.
Baby
it's
steps. Not, you got to take baby steps.
We're not quite there yet. Maybe we can make some progress on a bigger movement for that. We've got a big show announcement coming up in the next hour as well, so make sure you stay tuned for that. We've got all kinds of good stuff. Max Powers, manning those phone lines for us. He is available, 869-1240. If you want to get in touch with the program, you can also leave us comments on our video streams, on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. It's all available for you as always, and thanks to those for watching us on 12 News Connected right now. How are you this morning, Tom?
Man, I'm good. Looking forward to football. We're knocking on the doorstep of NFL football, the opening game tomorrow night, Cowboys Eagles, and then of course Chiefs Chargers in Brazil on Friday night, and then we get the full slate this weekend. My final fantasy football draft is done and in the books, so I've got all my teams set up and ready to rock and roll, ready to get into it.
It's going to be fun. Hopefully everybody is through those drafts and ready. I've got to leave town tomorrow morning before we even start on the air here. I will be like wheels up. It's like a 5 a.m. flight, and I'll be out the rest of the week. So I've got to figure all that out as far as getting you guys picks. Maybe I'll be able to hop on Friday, but I won't be here directly to like talk about some of these games. So we'll do a little of that today. Including Cowboys Eagles. We haven't really got into the Micah Parsons, drama of it. A big article from ESPN yesterday sort of documenting that. I think it's pretty interesting stuff that we can get through today. And then that's it. That's sort of the last drama of the offseason in the books now. And it's time for the football. Cowboys, big underdogs. What kind of chance do they have this weekend? And then, of course, the Chiefs, they're off to Brazil. I believe they're in the air or about to be in the air to make that long trip. We learned yesterday exactly how long that is. It's longer than maybe I thought. We're there. And we got baseball to talk about too, Tommy, as the Royals disappoint us mightily last night in the opener against the Angels.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to watch a whole lot of the game, but I saw early in the game, they were up 1-0, I think in the fourth or fifth.
You're not going to like what happened, I'll tell you that.
And I saw that, and then I had to go and do some other things, and I came back, and all of a sudden they were down 4 or 5 runs. And I have an inkling that I know what happened with the game last night, and it's kind of just like the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results.
Yeah, it was certainly a part of the problem, but we'll get into that as well as we make our way through. We've got contests for you. We've got contests to win concert tickets. I'm told, and we can do this one off the top today to mix it up a little bit, that we have tickets to Truett and Osborne bike drag racing, which will be out at the Kansas International Speedway this weekend, and you've got a chance to win tickets. We'll do this one right now. So if you're into the motocross world, is bike drag racing still considered motocross? I could be
I don't know. I don't consider myself an expert in that field.
I can barely, and I mean barely, ride a bicycle. This isn't my cup of tea, but I do enjoy a good show no matter what it is, and this will be one out at the bike drags. It'll be pretty cool. I've never seen a bike drag racing. That's actually motorcycle drag racing. I mean, I guess I've seen that on TV, and they get on the long runway and they just go like a billion miles an hour. So that'll be pretty cool. It's out in Mays. Nitro Bikes, I'm told it starts at 11 a.m. So you can get you a pair of tickets right now. Go text the keyword drag to 20357. Drag 20357 for your shot at a pair of passes. Standard message and data rates apply. We will pick winners on Thursday at 11 a.m. Good luck, everybody, on that. We'll also give away some music tickets. We got a concert coming up at Equity Bank Park that we'll do. We'll give away some HTO. We're feeling festive this morning because why not? It's a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday for some of us. Max, I assume, has got his Hawaii Five-0 shirt.
I gotta bring this up though. Like, you always give Max a pass. He's not wearing a Hawaiian shirt. He's wearing a tie. It's a tie-dye T-shirt. It's not a Hawaiian shirt.
Kamakona.
I get it, but it's not in. It might have a Hawaiian word on it, and it might be tie-dye.
So maybe we should call it a Hawaii shirt.
That's fine.
But not a Hawaiian shirt.
You give him a pass every single week, and you
I can't see him.
You don't give me a pass, and I mean, he's not wearing a Hawaiian shirt either. So we got to have it be fair and equitable.
And I had my Kauai shirt on last week.
Yeah, but it's not a Hawaiian, like it doesn't have a collar. It's a t-shirt. You're wearing a t-shirt that is a tie-dye, I guess it's a traditional tie-dye t-shirt. That's not a Hawaiian shirt.
At least he's putting in some effort.
How come he gets a pass on this and I don't? That doesn't make any sense.
Because he's at least trying, and you know, you're front facing, and
I was trying to wear some color today.
That's not now. Come on, like just because you wear color in your shirt,
Max is wearing color on his shirt. It's the same thing.
But Max is wearing Max plays the music for us every week, but B, like it's a Hawaii themed shirt. At least, it's a Hawaii 5-0, which was a
Makona shrimp truck.
If you're going to make an exception for him, you got to make an exception for me.
No problem.
I mean, I don't think that that's true at all. I don't think that's true. You know, he's not front facing here and out for the people. And we're trying to do something special. We're trying to liven things up on a Wednesday.
I don't think it was any coincidence, by the way, that the one Royals game you went to this season was the Hawaiian shirt giveaway game over the weekend. I think you planned that way ahead of time.
It was Jimmy Buffett night. It did jump off the screen as we were looking at dates in which to go. We could have easily picked the Sunday day game. We probably could have made it down for the Friday night game, but no, we went Saturday. Yes, it was Hawaiian shirt night, and we got six of them for the family. I can let you borrow one. You can borrow a Hawaiian.
I think I found what your theme for family pictures, like your next like Christmas family photo. You all need to be rocking your Royals Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll wear a Hawaiian shirt anytime I get the chance. I'm trying to, teach my son to do that. Let everybody know it's party time all the time. It's party time on Sports Daily because it is a Hawaiian shirt Wednesday. We'll be back. Let's talk about Micah Parsons and this story that came out. We'll put a bow on those conversations because the games start tomorrow. It's next on Sports Daily.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky. But Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real life moments. Maurice's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Glad to be with you on this Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. It's a good day to get out there and celebrate. I want to say thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great sponsor of the program. It is a good time to give them a call, see what memberships they have available. They have all kinds of different things for you if it's something you might be interested in, and it is a good time to get a good deal out there. Crestview, give Todd a call. Tommy and I are both out there. Say hi. We always chat it up with folks that are out there, whether we're playing golf or having a beer at the bar, whatever it is, it's always good to see everybody. So if you want to come out and check it out, give them a call and tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. Tommy, we come back in. Yesterday, the story drops on Micah Parsons, kind of the behind the scenes a little bit. Look, there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. I don't think any of it surprises me, the story up at ESPN.com. Did any of it surprise you on how this all took place or, you know, kind of the process on all of this? Honestly, it all makes sense. And it sort of just, you know, at least according to the reporting, and it follows, you know, a situation that felt pretty easy to track and read.
Yeah, it seems like, I think what was surprising to me is how casual and informal the entire process was from start to finish. I think it probably lent itself to miscommunication and a lot of issues, and obviously why we got to the end result that we got to. I've been, and I know you have been as well, I've been a part of contract negotiations before in the course of my career for far less money, obviously, than what Micah Parsons and Jerry Jones were negotiating. And it seems like, at least in my experience, it's usually a more formalized process than what this was. Like, this was the owner and the player having a conversation, and then both parties having confusion about what the other one allegedly agreed to. And then it just snowballed and got bigger and bigger and bigger to the point to where they were not able to reconcile. And obviously the Cowboys had to ship Micah Parsons away. It was surprising to me that none of the procedures were documented or formalized in any way. It was just a very casual conversation. And I don't know, I feel like if you're dealing with, you know, over $100 million or multiple $100 million, like, you need to probably have a more formalized process.
I don't know that I think it matters too much. I think that everybody does business different. I think that Jerry Jones at 82 years old and a good old boy businessman, which I think we could all agree that'd be a pretty good definition, right? A good old boy, like, we're going to get business done over a whiskey or on the golf course or what, you know what I mean? I think he's probably done this a million times. I think that here's what I would imagine, the way I read that and the way I could see this going, because I have been a part of these, that it was what was, you know, maybe Micah Parsons thought was very informal. Jerry Jones took the opportunity to not have to deal with an agent. And I'm sure he's done that a million times. In the story, it says that's sort of what happened with the Dak Prescott deal. And I assume he'd prefer to do things that way. He's not making a commitment to an agent. So to want to go man to man to come up with, you know, the priorities in a deal, right, wrong, or indifferent, I personally don't think there's anything wrong with it. At any point, Micah Parsons could have said, "Whoop, you know what? I'm going to let my agent handle the money."
I mean, he did say that.
He did, but according to Jerry Jones, they came to agreements on the terms. And so, like, for Jerry Jones, yeah, was that a negotiating tactic? Of course it was. Of course it was. But at the same time, it was pointed and designed to not have to deal with an agent. I don't have a strong opinion on whether that's the right way to do it or the wrong way to do it. I think Micah Parsons needed to make it. If Micah Parsons wasn't comfortable with that, he needed to make it perfectly clear at that point. Like, I can't talk money. It's not my thing. I don't care. I just want to play football. Like, let me get my agent for that part, because I'm not, you know, he can do that. And I mean, I'm telling you, like, this happens all the time. It happens in the TV business all the time. I've had new directors come to me. I had an agent one time in my career for when we first moved here, and I thought, and I decided at that point I needed to switch. Instead of just doing sports, I was going to just do news. That was the better move for my career. This was a long time ago. And so I had an agent helping me get interviews. But the main reason I had an agent was to negotiate a contract, right? It's the main reason I even brought one on board. I didn't have time. We were just, you know, we were just started having kids. I didn't have the energy for it. I was like, it's exhausting to go through that process. And so when I thought we were leaving here, I had a news director, and I think the words he said was, I'm not going to deal with your agent. I'm talking to you. And I could have at that point been like, yeah, that's a problem for me, right? Like, that's not going to work. But I didn't do that. I was like, okay, well, then let's talk. And so it was fine. But I think that kind of thing happens all the time because agents make people uncomfortable. It's their job to make people uncomfortable. Sometimes, and this wouldn't have been one of those times with Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons, there is enough sway in the hiring person's, you know, ammo box to say, yeah, listen, I'm not doing that. Like, if you want this deal, like, we can go ahead and not deal with that. And if that's a non-starter, then goodbye. Now, that wouldn't have been the case for Jerry Jones. But he saw an opportunity to not have to deal with an agent. And I'm not going to say I blame him for that. Was it manipulative? Probably. I mean, it probably was. He probably thought he could, you know, maybe not have to deal with as much or give as many concessions if he could just talk man to man.
Here's the issue that I have with the whole thing, though, is that there are only two people in the world that know exactly what went on in that meeting, and that's Jerry Jones and Micah Parsons. And they have two completely different stories on what the outcome of that meeting was. Nothing was documented. Nothing was formalized. Nothing was put in writing. And when you're dealing with this magnitude of a situation, like a franchise player, a generational type player, an all pro, potentially Hall of Famer, you know, kind of a franchise altering type guy like that, I don't care if you're on Micah Parsons' side or if you are on Jerry Jones' side. The bottom line is you need to have it documented. You need to have it formalized. Well, I have in my career negotiated, I mean, a wide variety of deals, whether they are low stakes deals or high stakes deals. A low stake type deal, yeah, like, I'll do it over a beer, you know, or I'll make a phone call, or, you know, maybe I'll go out on the golf course. If we're dealing with a lot of zeros at the end of a number, like, I've negotiated six-figure deals and things like that in my career, obviously nowhere near the Micah Parsons situation. But if it's a monumental type deal relative to my business, you better be sure that I am crossing all of my T's and dotting all of my I's. And I am documenting it. I'm formalizing it. If there's a conversation, I'm immediately recapping the conversation and writing. Like, it probably seems like overkill, but for the protection of both sides in the negotiation, you need to have that documented. And unfortunately, and this is, I don't fault Micah Parsons for it, because like, he's the player. That's not his job to document things. If I'm Jerry Jones, I'm absolutely documenting this. If I talked to Micah Parsons and I felt like there was a deal from that conversation, I'm immediately recapping that conversation in writing to Micah and his agent right then and there, right after it's done. And then you can address any kind of issue and get through it right away.
I think they did that, and that's when the agent said that's a good starting
point.
I think that was later.
Like, I don't think that was, not right away, at least. I think that it was Jerry went on for a minute. I don't know how long off the top of my head, but Jerry went on just thinking, yeah, we've got a deal. Yeah, we've agreed to terms. And then it wasn't until, I don't know if it was several weeks or I don't know how long it was later, when he realized that he was mistaken.
I'd have to look back at it. It wasn't an absurd amount of time. I'm not taking a side on this, by the way. As far as this goes, I don't really care, quite frankly. I think it's interesting because I'm trying to like look at it and imagine where this could have gone so sideways. And in any of the deals, Tommy, that you have done that you're talking about, if you had general agreements with somebody and they came back after that and you were ready to put something in front of them and said, actually, we're going to need 40% more money, that would piss you off. And, you know, whether you would end up making the deal or not is aside from this situation, because Jerry Jones got his feelings hurt a little bit. And I think that's a part of this entire process. Now, from a business standpoint, I absolutely think Jerry Jones made the right decision. He thought that the problem with this on the timing is he thought he had a deal and then like three other deals got done. And then all of a sudden Micah Parsons wanted more money after they had agreed. That's what I think by what you read here. Micah Parsons says there wasn't a deal in place. There wasn't an agreement. Jerry Jones says there was. I would imagine they talked some cheddar and came up with the number, and Jerry said, we want to make you the highest paid non, just like he said he did. And then he waited too long or whatever. And then Crosby signs, JJ Watt signs, and the market's reset. And then his agent's like, yo, you can't sign that deal. The market got reset. You got to reset the market. Well, wait a minute. We already agreed to what we were going to do here. Like, that's where I think it went sideways. And just to like get a full understanding of it. Then you get into all the other stuff in the story. And this is where I've sort of landed with it. Dallas needs to redesign their defense. You heard from other coaches in the story that even other executives that made, whether they thought Dallas got a good deal for the two first and everything, it was like, yeah, you can sort of, when you get to the playoffs and you start to run the ball, you can neutralize Micah Parsons. As I watched the Cowboys over the year, that's jumped off the screen to me. Like, it doesn't matter if you have a great pass rusher, if teams are just going to run it all over you. And I think that systematically the Cowboys had far greater needs. That's what I've said for months. And people have told me I'm an idiot because Micah Parsons is so great. And I don't disagree that Micah Parsons is so great. What I've always disagreed on is that specific position, whether he's the best at it or not, is not worth the same as a quarterback, which is essentially what we saw get done there. You can game plan around a great pass rusher. You can't game plan around a great defense. And the Cowboys weren't going to be a great defense with Micah Parsons. They weren't. They weren't going to be that much better. So that's where, to me, like, that's why I've always thought the Cowboys needed to do this. It just wasn't the right fit at the right time to pay him that much. Now, if it was back to $38 million or whatever they were when they had a conversation, it's probably a little bit different. That's not where it is now. He just made $47 million. He's the second highest paid player in football. That's insane to me.
Yeah, I don't want to be revisionist in the thought that all of a sudden Jerry made a savvy move to trade Micah Parsons away because he was willing to pay him enough to be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. So like, clearly they value Micah Parsons in a large way. So now the narrative is, okay, well, we moved him because we're going to be a better defense without him. We're going, like, he wasn't able to stop the run.
Well,
and now we're going to be able to stop the run because we got a multi-time Pro Bowl defensive tackle. And that may very well be true. But I'm not going to be revisionist and all of a sudden, and I think that Jerry and his group, I mean, like they said this, he and his son said this at the press conference after they traded Micah Parsons away about all of the reasons why they feel like they got better defensively and all of that. Okay, that may very well be true, but it wasn't that long ago you were willing to pay Micah Parsons a ton of money, not as much as Green Bay, but a ton of money to anchor your defense. So
sour grapes contribute.
Absolutely, 100%.
For sure. And that can get you to the right place. And honestly, like your hands are tied when you have great players like that. That's what happened with CeeDee Lamb. Like, what are you going to do? And at the time, it's like, what are you going to do? Not sign Micah Parsons? That seems crazy. And then as the more this longer this went on, it was like, this isn't a good fit. They need to trade him. And that's what happened. So, look, I think ultimately everybody's a winner in this. I still believe that. I just think it's really interesting. The part that none of that surprised me. That's honestly kind of what I thought happened, right? Like Jerry tried to go old school. Parsons got his agent, and his agent was like, yeah, that ain't going to work. And then that made Jerry mad, and then it got worse from there. Then you see some of the other stuff about there's some locker room stuff, and Micah Parsons, the player, is great, but man, it's hard to imagine two personalities like that. He's always talking. He's been negative about his own team very publicly. I wouldn't call him the greatest locker room. Could you ever imagine Patrick Mahomes going on his own podcast and ripping his team and talking about how disappointed? Like, no. Like that kind of stuff, that was never my favorite thing about him either. Like, I get it. He's just trying to build a brand and be a personality and all that. But man, you're a football player, and if you're making $47 million, you get in the locker room and you don't get out and ever say anything negative about the organization or your team and get to work. So that was the stuff. It kind of surprised me to hear some, you know, grumblings from former teammates or locker room or whatever they were citing on that. It was the right move. It's always been the right move. I don't know whether the Packers made the right move, but I can get on board with their move in a really interesting. I do think this is actually interesting. I know some people may be sick of it, and it's not the, like, the most annoying story in the world, but to watch that caliber of a player and go back through how we got to that point is pretty wild. It's not the first, this same thing happened with Khalil Mack. Like, it's not like this is unprecedented. It's just, you don't see this with the Cowboys. They almost always pay their players like this. And sometimes it's to their detriment. And this time they didn't do it.
Yeah. I do think that one of the things that stood out to me is going back to the conversation about him being a locker room distraction and some of the issues there is that coaches have been working with him about how he shouldn't judge other players for not being at his caliber because he's a freak, right? Like, what he can do on the field is second to none. And so I think coaches felt like he was trying to hold his teammates to a level that only he can do because he's one of one. And I did find that kind of interesting. So, and it sounded like, at least in the article, that he was willing to hear that and work on that and all of that. So, I would imagine, I don't know, but I would imagine that we'll see probably a more mature, grown-up version of Micah Parsons in Green Bay, maybe. I don't know. But I think at the very least, like, there clearly has been a maturity factor that was not there in Dallas that I think he'd been working on it and had been brought up to him multiple times. We'll see how it pans out in Green Bay.
Yeah, I just hope for Packers fans that they don't struggle this year because that's never been a good recipe to catch him frustrated. Maybe it's easier to just sit still and kind of be quiet when you got $47 million in the bank. I don't know. But it just a fascinating situation that watches one of the at least early in his career, most successful pass rushers we've ever seen get after it. Green Bay got better. There is no question about that. Green Bay got better. And I think Dallas made the right move too. All right. Brandon says via YouTube, I was under the impression under the NFLPA agreement that owners cannot negotiate with the player directly unless the player represents themselves like Lamar. Well, the player can always represent themselves. The player doesn't always have to have an agent. I checked on this during the break, and Google tells me, and I think this, you know, I don't know where this exactly comes from, but yes, players and owners can negotiate. It's all governed by the CBA, or a certified agent can negotiate. So I don't think like your dad can negotiate one unless he is a certified agent, but I think you can always negotiate your own contract. I don't know how they would ever pass a rule that said you don't have control over your own contract. That seems crazy. Most players don't. Lamar famously does, but I don't think he has to like go certify himself as an agent to be able to do it. He just does it on his own.
I don't love the fact that regardless of how we got to this point in the entire story, I don't love the fact that once Micah Parsons told Jerry Jones, allegedly, you need to talk to my agent, that Jerry said, no, I'm not going to do that. Like he's an agent for a reason. Like
no,
Jerry needs to talk to the agent.
I think the way I interpreted that, or the way I read that, is after they came to an agreement,
allegedly,
obviously this would be from Jerry's side. When the agent came back and said, that's a good starting point, now we need to go up from there. That's when Jerry said, that's not how this is going to work. Like, I think he meant we already agreed to something. You're not going to come in now and try to blow that up. I think that's what he was saying. He wasn't saying he wouldn't work with an agent. He can't say that. He's not allowed to say that. I think he was saying you're not going to all of a sudden now try to upsell what we've already agreed to. Is where I think that came from. And that totally tracks, right? Like that totally tracks with an 82-year-old businessman who had a handshake agreement. Let me tell you this too, as somebody who's been pretty legitimately screwed on a handshake agreement, it would piss me off too. Cause I was ready to fight when that happened. Like that does mean something still to like, sure. To me, it does. I'm sure it does to Jerry Jones. I don't think that's exactly what happened here because I do think he was trying to manipulate Micah Parsons, but like,
yeah, I think this is one of those situations where clearly you've got Jerry's side, you've got Micah's side. The truth lies somewhere in the middle. Yeah. And I think that you can legitimately place probably an equal amount of blame on both sides. I know on a sports talk radio show, we want to assign it 100% on one side, hot takey or whatever. Honestly, I think this lies in the middle, and I think both sides are to blame. I think probably both sides tried to leverage what they could, and I applaud both sides for that, but then I think both sides also had miscommunication, missteps in the process, didn't handle things particularly well at varying points in the timeline. And, you know, it takes two to tango. Like they got to this point for a reason. It's not all on Jerry. It's not all on Micah. It lies somewhere in the middle between
two. It just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
It just wasn't meant to be, which is why this was the best solution. Jerry shouldn't have tried to pull one over on him and turn whatever the conversation was supposed to be into a contract negotiation informally. And Micah Parsons shouldn't have agreed to that and then gone to his agent and been like, all right, now let's get more money. Like they should, neither one of those things should have happened. And they did, and so here we are. All right, let's talk some Royals here. Thank you, Brandon, for the comment. If you ever want to chime in, you can. Facebook, YouTube, X, or you can call us, 869-1240. You can reach out to us directly on X, too, on Twitter, Tommy and I. The Royals, Tommy, last night, look, I laughed when it happened, not because I was, you know, excited or anything else, but just because I knew where this was. I was, like, envisioning you watching this. Lorenzen gets into that, you know, that third time through the lineup. He's cooking, he's dealing, runner on. I will say he was not struggling in any way. He made a bad pitch to a good hitter. They didn't score enough runs for it to matter either way. It didn't end up mattering as much because the Royals offense, you know, sputtered through. But it was another scenario where it's like, can we just, I don't know what it is. I don't know. Maybe you have an opinion on this with Lorenzen. Is it two times through the lineup and done?
Oh, yeah.
No matter what?
Yeah.
No matter what?
I think you give him the hook. Like, you just know going into it. When you get, when that lineup card turns over for the third time, you're done. I brought this up prior to his last start, and I'm sure, I haven't looked it up today, I'm sure it has changed for the worse. But his ERA each time through the lineup, I mean, it starts out at like a 2, By the time a lineup goes through a third time against Lorenzen, his ERA is like 7.5. Like, it's glaring. And it's almost like Matt Quatrero forgets about that or willfully ignores it. I don't get it. Pull him when it gets to the third time through the lineup. Even like sometimes during the second time through the lineup, he starts to struggle, but I think it's a combination of fatigue a little bit. I mean, Lorenzen's no spring chicken, so it's a little bit of a fatigue issue, I think. And then he's not an overpowering pitcher. He never really has been. And so I think lineups figure him out. Like, by the time he gets a third time through, they know what to expect from him. He's kind of predictable. Not that he's a bad pitcher. He just kind of gets predictable late into a ball game. You've got to be proactive in that regard. If you are Matt Quatrero, you have to go in expecting that and understanding that and be ready to make a change. And he's just been more reactive on that and a little bit too late in making those changes.
So I think here was this, I mean, this would have been a fascinating, fascinating case study last night. I believe the scenario at the time was five innings and I think either two hits or three hits and a walk, whichever way it was, and clean through five before you basically started the lineup back over. Are we advocating at this point, if Lorenzen is scoreless through five and has only given up two hits, to then pull him before the sixth ever starts?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. No, and I honestly don't have a problem with that. I think that's certainly a chess move and not a checkers move. I think there are lots of people who would casually watch that and be like, what in the hell are you doing? I would normally be one of those people. I do not like quick hooks. There is enough of a track record here with this that I could rubber stamp that. You get Lorenzen, you're starting the game.
Yeah.
You get two times through the lineup, however long that takes you to do it, and then you're out.
Okay, so I've got updated numbers here from each time through the lineup. Would you like to hear them?
Yeah, I would.
Okay, so Michael Lorenzen's first time through the lineup, he has an ERA of 2.10, first time through the lineup. Second time through the lineup, his ERA is 4.98. So not great, worse than the first time through, but you know what? You can probably live with that. Third time through the lineup, he's got an ERA of 9. And that's as of last night's start. Like, it's in front of you. Like, even if you, I mean, I know ERA and opponents' averages are correlated, obviously. Averages, first time through the lineup, 196. Second time, 305. Third time, 314.
305 is too high.
305 is too high the second time through. But at least you can, like, with a 498 ERA, you don't love it, but you can probably live with it, especially knowing the first time through is 210. But man, by the time you get to the third time through that lineup, it balloons. It explodes. You're talking a 9 ERA. You're talking a run in inning. The second time or the third time through the lineup, like that just kind of slaps you in the face, and it should slap Matt Quatrero in the face. Like, we cannot keep doing this every time he goes out there to pitch. I like Michael Lorenzen. I like what he does for the team. I don't like him the third time through the lineup. They've got to be more proactive on that.
Well, and it's just so desperate for wins, you know, you're so desperate for a win that you have to do everything you can to win each and every night. So they don't get it done last night. Ultimately, they probably didn't have enough offense in the game anyway to get it done. No Jack Caglione in the lineup last night, which I thought was interesting. I don't know why we feel like we have to have Nick Lofton in the lineup. No, and this is honestly, I don't mean any offense to Nick Lofton in saying that. I just, like, what I don't understand is why we need Grichuk and Lofton both in the lineup when Caglione is sitting there.
Yeah, you just call Cags up, and he's not in the lineup. He doesn't even get an at-bat. Like, they pinched hit and had Carter Jensen get an at-bat. Where was Cags last night? You brought him up for a reason.
I don't know, man. Let's not, again, like, let's stop overthinking this. I know that it did not go perfectly for him the first time he got called up. I also know there aren't very many players in the history of the game that has the kind of power and upside that he has.
Yeah.
put him in the lineup.
Would you rather, again, I know the answer to this question. It's kind of a rhetorical question. Would you rather have Randall Grichuk DHing, or would you rather have Jack Caglione DHing against a guy making his major league debut? That's what the guy for the Angels was. Like, he was making his debut last night. Like, I don't know. I mean, like, I feel like having
Grichuk,
a guy
Grichuk
like
can be a pinch hitter.
Yeah.
Grichuk could be a situational player. Jack Caglione, if he hits the way he's hit in the minor leagues this year, if he does even close to that at the big league level, could win you a couple of games down the stretch by himself.
And I think, by the way, that, you know, it was pretty clear that especially against established veteran experienced pitching, they knew how to pitch to Cags, and he struggled his last time at the bigs. You're taking on a guy who was just in the minor leagues and had never pitched in Major League Baseball before at the bigs. That's where Cags can feast. Like, he absolutely blew up minor league pitching both times he's been in the minors this year. Put him in the lineup against the guy making his debut. It's not that complicated.
And what is the worst case scenario? That he gets more experience for next year? Like, come on. Don't let Lorenzen throw the third time through the lineup. Put Cags in the lineup every day. Or close to every day. Four times a week. Let's get there. All right. They play again tonight. We'll see if they can get it done. We're coming back. Another hour of Sports Daily. Coming your way next. Welcome back in, everybody. It is another hour of Sports Daily. We're going to start you this hour on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday with your chance to win Tyler Hubbard tickets September 14th at Equity Bank Park. You can text the keyword Tyler right now to 20357 for your shot at tickets. You can listen to KFH and learn more about this contest. But right now, you can text the keyword Tyler to 20357. Or if you're listening to KEYN, there'll be a keyword at some point through the day that could help you enter. We'll have 10 winners scoring a pair of tickets to see Tyler Hubbard with Drew Baldridge live at Equity Bank Park on September 14th. As we get, you know, closer to winding the summer down, you wouldn't know it's still summer outside. Tommy, I'm going to play a little golf today, the Heritage Classic Pro-Am, which should be a lot of fun. I'm going to guess that as we're playing a Pro-Am on a women's professional tour, that I could probably just keep the driver in the bag. Yeah. Like, don't even need to get it out today.
I would imagine you're probably not going to be using many of your drives, would be my guess.
Now, on the pro tour, do the women still tee from the women's tees, or are they back further?
I mean, they play from women's tees, but I don't think they're the standard.
It's not like the ones that would normally be.
Not to my knowledge. I don't know the way that they've got the course
I'll find out today.
Set up. Yeah, let me know on that. And we're going to have our buddy Jay Delling on the show tomorrow and Friday. We talked to him during Wichita Open time. We'll talk to him during the Heritage Classic to give updates on that tournament. Really, the really cool thing about the Heritage Classic is on Sunday, Annika Sorenstam will be on site at Rolling Hills Country Club. You know, the tour is named after her. It's the Annika Tour. She'll be there to crown the winner and all of that. So that'll be really cool.
It'll be a fun event, and we're looking forward to it. I'll be out there with Mr. Schwanke and a couple other people, and we'll talk a little trash.
Have you played at Rolling Hills before? You ever been out there?
It's
fun. It's a fun golf course.
That's what I've always heard.
I don't get out west very often, but when I do, I like playing that course a lot.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited to do that. Coming up this hour, we've got a big show announcement coming in just a little bit. Trius Lotta is going to join us to look ahead to Mizzou for KU. And we will keep chugging away here. We're going to, you know, preview maybe tomorrow's football game a little bit. We'll talk Chiefs certainly in this hour as well, as we get maybe some injury updates and give you the final thoughts before they took off for Brazil. It's all what's on tap. Brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company. And right now, you can, you can get in on the pepperoni pizza. It's topped with sliced, cubed, and deli-cut pepperoni. Pepperoni, available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company, pizza and beer made here. Tommy, the pepperoni, I've had it before. I love that pizza, by the way. They have the little cubes of pepperoni. What is your favorite cut of pepperoni? Now, this pizza has all of the cuts, so it gets you all covered, But if you're getting a preference on your pizza, what is your preferred cut of pepperoni?
Yeah, I love the pepperoni that when it bakes, it kind of turns into like a little cup. Like the, you know, I don't even know what it's called, but it's kind of like a rounded pepperoni. Yeah, the sides come up.
Yeah.
I think I'm with you on that.
Although the cubed, because of elementary school cafeteria pizza, you know, on the squares, always featuring those cubed, always does have a special place in my heart. They still rock that. Fridays are still square pizza day in school.
Here's a hot take for you.
Hang on. If you're going to say that you don't like the square pizza from lunchrooms as a kid.
Those are fine. Pepperoni is actually not my preferred topping. I like it. I'll eat it.
I don't think that's a hot take.
I grew up, I've always been a sausage guy. Like I, you know, put Italian sausage on my pizza. I'm good to go with that. So that's always, and I think the best combination is pepperoni and sausage both. Get the best of both worlds. But if I had to choose, I'm usually going to choose sausage over pepperoni for my pizza.
No, I wouldn't. Sausage or hamburger?
Sausage for sure.
So I would actually prefer of that variety, hamburger over sausage. And that's not even a normal. I'm talking just the meat. I still want red sauce and all that stuff. But, like at old school when you're a kid at like pizza, they had like hamburger. Yeah. I would rather have that.
It's
than
usually
sausage.
Like unseasoned ground beef crumbles. Give me the flavor of Italian sausage on my pizza.
No, I'd rather have the beef than that. But I would take pepperoni first, then Canadian bacon probably.
No.
And then I actually don't mind chicken on pizza either. Yeah. Now more into the specialty pizzas.
I'm not a Canadian bacon guy. Like if I get a Meat Lover's pizza, I'll do like Meat Lover's without Canadian bacon.
You don't like the Canadian bacon.
I don't like ham. I'm not a ham fan at all.
Canadian bacon is. So that makes sense.
I don't like that.
Interesting. Speaking of the ground beef, have you ever had a beef and feta pizza?
I can't say that I have.
There is some strange combination. They make them. There was a restaurant back home that made it, and I've seen it a few other places. Beef and feta together on a pizza is awesome. It's like the ground beef, right? But with feta and then on just a regular pizza. Very, very tasty. God, I love pizza. Pizza is a food to me that there is better pizza. There is not bad pizza. Like I have never had pizza. I've
I don't
never
know if
had
I agree
a
with
slice
that.
Of pizza and thought, ew, gross. Not one time in my whole life.
Recently, within the last couple of weeks, we did. I'm not going to name the chain. It's a big chain. We did delivery one night, and it was like objectively bad, like not good. It was shocking because like. I didn't anticipate it, but I think it was not made well. Like the crust,
the crust was
like really thin, but it wasn't meant to be thin crust. And it was like a cracker. It was weirdly cut. The toppings were just, I mean, it was just not, it was not good. It was not
I
a good piece.
It was good. I thought it was good. Yeah, I grew up on that said brand. Now listen, I'm not saying there's not great pizza. There is certainly better pizza. I've just never had pizza and not gone back for a second slice, if you know what I mean. I can't eat that.
What's the name of the chain? This is going to be for anybody that watches The Office. There's that scene where Michael orders pizza for everybody, but there are two pizza places in Scranton that are named almost the same thing, but one is really good and one is horrible, and he orders it from the bad one. It's like Pizza by Alfredo and Alfredo's Pizza or something like that. And everybody, like, they're happy that he's getting pizza, and then they find out he ordered from the wrong one. And it's just whole diatribe about how bad the pizza is at that one place and how much better it is at the other.
I know which one. It's such a great episode. Pizza and barbecue. I've also not had barbecue and been like, oh, I can't eat that. You know, like, there's better barbecue. There's not bad barbecue. You get a chunk of meat and cover it in barbecue sauce, like, and I'm good to go. Like, we'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, I feel
those are the two food groups that qualifies.
I love barbecue. I love great barbecue. I almost feel like I'm not going to waste a meal on mediocre barbecue. Like, if I'm going to eat barbecue, I need it to be highest quality barbecue.
You're at a cookout. It's not great, and it's just sitting there. You're telling me you're not going to eat it?
Are we talking barbecue like a cookout, like hamburgers and hot dogs? Or are we talking like...
Oh, no, no, no. Like barbecue. Oh, like it needs sauce. Needs to be ribs or barbecue. Like barbecue.
I mean, if I don't have a choice, I'll eat it. But like if I'm... Like, here's an example. If I go to Applebee's, for example, they've got ribs on the menu. I'm probably not going to order the ribs. It's not a barbecue place. I'll get something else, right?
But if you ate those ribs, you would be fine. Like,
it'd be fine. It's like going and getting a McRib at McDonald's, right?
This doesn't qualify for every food, though. I love Mexican food. There is objectively bad Mexican food that I'm like, I can't eat that. That's gross. Like, there is... chips and salsa might be like, if I had a last meal, it might be like good chips and salsa. Honestly,
I don't know. Is there bad chips and salsa? Like, that's what I would put that on the list.
Pace Picante sauce, no offense to our friends at Pace Picante. I'm not going to eat that though.
You're telling if they put a basket of free chips and free salsa in front of you, even if it's mediocre, you're not going to eat it. Cause I know I would.
I guess I would. We choose our Mexican food based on the chips and salsa most of the time. Like most of the time, that dictates where we'll get Mexican food. If they have good chips and salsa, if they have bad chips and salsa, I always enjoy the pizza. Maybe that's the way to put it. I always enjoy the pizza. I always enjoy the barbecue. I don't always enjoy the Mexican food. I don't always enjoy the chips and salsa. I guess I'd probably eat it anyway. But I don't have to.
I know you well enough to know that you would. If it was free chips and salsa put in front of you, you're going to devour that.
I am kind of food for fuel. Maybe that's. But pizza and barbecue, I stand by it. There's no bad. There's better. And not because they're a sponsor of the program. I mean this wholeheartedly. Wichita Brewing Company does have my favorite pizza.
They do. It's phenomenal.
I'm a thin crust guy. I am definitely team thin crust, and theirs is really, really good. Okay, outside of the pizza talk, let's talk Chiefs when we come back. We'll get into the injury situation heading into Brazil, get you through some of the final thoughts. I've got the quotes here in front of me of what Andy Reid was saying, what some of the players were saying about hitting that long trip. We'll have that for you. We've got Shreyas Lotta coming up this hour. He's going to help preview Mizzou, and a big show announcement at the end of the show. We'll have it all in this hour's Sports Daily.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K-12 at ChoosePrimavera.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
Whether it's a date night, a special event, or just another Tuesday, our over 800 stylists are here to help you look and feel your best. We're about personalized style that fits your life. Made for real-life moments. Maurice's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody, on a Hawaiian Shirt Wednesday. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up here all across the Odyssey stations, including right here on KFH. We get ready for the start of the NFL season. I'll be gone the rest of the week. Let's look ahead a little bit to the Chiefs. I know you guys will have more on that. We'll have, I believe, TJ's in tomorrow. Brandon will be in on Friday. Let's start with the Chiefs, Tommy. We get yesterday Andy Reid and his normal, like at this point when he does this one, it's a very brief media session. And the big news is Jalen Royals is out. He's not been practicing. So whatever his injury is, it's going to hold him out. But that's it. That means Hollywood Brown should be good to go. And that's what the room's going to look like. You won't have Rashee Rice or Jalen Royals, and it'll have everybody else basically. And that's it. Like everybody else is good to go for Brazil. So the Chiefs more or less are where we thought they'd be with no real injury concerns heading in, depending on how quickly you thought Jalen Royals was going to be a contributing factor.
Yeah, I mean, I think from a depth perspective, that's really the major detriment, not having Royals available, because you're already down Rashee Rice. And even if you didn't feel like Royals was going to be an impact wide receiver right away, at least having the option to go to him if needed, in sets where you've got multiple wide receivers out there. And I don't know exactly off the top of my head where he had been slotted in the depth chart, but you do lose a warm body at wide receiver, at least for week number one. He's been battling this knee issue for a minute now, so it's not overly surprising. His status had been in question for a while for this game in Brazil, and honestly, it makes a lot of sense. We figured out yesterday that this is a flight that is like 12 or 13 hours. And if you're dealing, you know, and I know like their accommodations on the plane are very luxurious, but you're still talking about a 12-hour flight on an airplane going overseas, yeah, and then going and playing a football game, then getting back on a plane and coming home. Probably better for a rookie in that regard who's dealing with the knee issue to just stay back and delay his debut with the team until, you know, they're back on the mainland, I guess. So it's not overly surprising, but you do take a hit at the depth position.
It's a bummer for the young dude that doesn't get to go experience it for the first time and everything else. That's kind of the bummer, but it'd probably make him hungrier. Hollywood Brown talked yesterday, and he just talked about how mentally tough last year was and how excited he is. And look, I do think that, and as we've been through our fantasy drafts and all that, like I think Hollywood Brown's potential impact on this team is being severely downplayed. I think Hollywood Brown has a chance to be a pretty dang impactful player this year. The main reason is because it, to me, like Worthy's role will be where it was to end the year, which is Rashee Rice. They've got to have him fill that role, which opens things wide for Hollywood Brown to be the deep threat on this team, which is what they initially envisioned anyway, right? Like that's why they brought him in here, and then they draft Worthy, and then all of these things happen. Or maybe they didn't draft Worthy for that reason because they knew they were going to need at some point a Rashee Rice replacement because of this situation, and it's nice that he's good at that specific role. But Hollywood Brown, I do think, has a chance. And I don't know about this game specifically, but I think he's going to have an impact here. I hope he does. I really like the player. And it does seem like a good fit with Mahomes. And I hope now with Simmons there and the line giving Mahomes just a little bit more time, the Chiefs, they've talked about it a lot. Matt Nagy's talked about it. Like everybody has talked about how badly they want to get the ball down the field in the passing game. And they're more equipped to do it out of the gates this year, certainly than they were a year ago, because Hollywood Brown's healthy and because they can block enough to do it now.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the key factor, right, is what the amount of time that, you know, you would think Mahomes is going to get in the pocket now. Is it going to be the most in the league? No, probably not. But even if it's a step better than what it was a season ago, just to give a guy like Mahomes another second in the pocket before he has to start playing, you know, Superman and getting out of the pocket and trying to find a way to manufacture things and make it work while on the run. I mean, that can by itself transform the offense. There had been all of this speculation last season and all the storylines about how has Mahomes lost a step and he's more inaccurate now than he was in the past and all of these different things, when really you can zero it in on the fact that the guy had no time. The guy was running for his life, you know, and was having to make something out of nothing because his protection broke down nearly immediately. I was watching, last night I had on, I don't remember what episode it was, one of the episodes of The Kingdom, and I don't remember what game it was. It might've been the Raiders game, one of the Raiders games. And Max Crosby came off the edge immediately. And I don't remember who was playing left tackle in that particular game. It might've been right before they went to Joe Tooney. And it was almost like, it might've been Wanya Morris. It was like he laid down. It was like literally Max Crosby was on his way. And like whoever it was at left tackle just got out of the way. Like literally like, okay, we'll just have a free lane at Mahomes. That's the way the majority of the season went last year. So if you can even have a moment, if you're Mahomes, to breathe and make his progressions and read the receivers and all of that, that can absolutely transform your offense.
Well, it's just, isn't it funny? As you watch The Kingdom, it's never talked about how bad the line was. Like they never talk about it. It's not like it is so impressive to me sometimes, most of the time with the Chiefs, that they just refuse to be distracted or diverted from the end game. We had a film crew with that team last year. And people, you know, that follow the Chiefs regularly know this. People outside don't even probably realize how bad that line was last year. And like to have a film crew with you the entire time to take all the in-depth stuff that documentary takes you through and to not ever talk about how bad the line was is amazing to me. That you had guys doing interviews, and I don't know how much creative control the Chiefs had over this. I'm not sure. You know, they may have had some, but even if they did, to go out to for everybody to go out of their way to not like throw that group under the bus is pretty wild. And that's the kind of thing we talk about Micah Parsons and always like he's thrown, you know, he's kind of dogged this team before and all this stuff. That is a part of what makes the Chiefs. It's a part of what made the Patriots. It's a part of what makes all the, like, they are so singularly focused. It's insane. And it starts with Andy Reid. It helps when you have Mahomes and Kelce and Chris Jones and all these people who are just like, listen, like literally nothing else matters. I don't. Yep. The line was objectively terrible last year. We're not going to talk about it. We're not going to throw them under the bus. We're not going to make excuses after every game as Mahomes is limping into a press conference. I got to be better. I got to be better. Right. Like that. I got to be better. Not we've got to be better. Not that line didn't give us a chance. Not any of that. Like, I got to be better. What does Andy Reid say after every game? Oh, coaches, we really let the team down. You know, we got to be better than that. We got to coach better than that. Like, it's always there. Cannot wait to see the offense get some decent protection with this. I can't wait to see the offense in November. But I, even out of the gates here, I can't wait to see the offense.
Yeah, one of the more frustrating things as a Chiefs fan, and I've been a Chiefs fan basically my entire life, and this even dates back to Andy Reid, but it applies to him as well. Usually, it takes a unit to be egregiously bad, like for the entire world to see before there starts to be wholesale changes and rebuilding in that regard. And that's one, that's something about Andy Reid that, you know, he's done for a long time. He's very, very, very patient. He's a very patient coach and wants to ride with the guys that he's got and try to improve them incrementally and get better and control what he can control and not throw the baby out with the bathwater and just like tear it down to the foundation and start over. That's not him. That's not his mentality. But we saw this with the offensive line after the Super Bowl loss against the Buccaneers a few years ago, when it was on full display for the world to see. We saw it again after this Super Bowl loss, when it was on full display for the world to see. They had to make wholesale changes on the line. And you would think, and I know that at the time, the narrative nationally was, man, the Chiefs are moving away from Joe Tooney. Like, they're trading an all-pro lineman. Like, what are they doing? And I think that, and I know it's just preseason, but I think that with what we saw from the left side of that line, I know Kingsley Suamataia has not been good, but Josh Simmons and his, the way that he performs, even as a rookie, can make up for that. You now have an anchor on the left side of your line that you didn't have before. And it took the issues to be shown on the big stage in front of the world in the Super Bowl for those changes to actually happen. I would argue that if the Chiefs had won the Super Bowl, we probably wouldn't see Josh Simmons on this team. I believe that because I think that even despite the issues, they win a championship and they run it, you know, they run it back and they don't make that change.
You didn't have to move a ton. I think if the circumstances were the same in the draft, we probably would. But the moving away, look, if Tooney was still on this team and they had Simmons and we're also able to lock up Smith and do all those things, we'd be talking about one of the better lines in football if all of those things were true. We're not going to be, we're not there. We're not anywhere near that. They have an incredible, you know, interior right side, and hopefully they have what looks to be, you know, let's call it the floor of league average left tackle with the ceiling of much, much higher with Simmons. I mean, I think we're all seeing the same thing, but they still have a problem at right tackle. They still now have a problem at left guard. Trading Joe Tooney did not make this line better, but it was necessary to keep Trey Smith. They're going to have to now deal with a different problem on the line this year, which is it. I can tell you right now, left guard's going to be a problem at points this year. Like, there's no question it's going to be a problem. It was never a problem with Joe Tooney, but now left tackle's not going to be a problem as often at minimum. And that's a problem you'd rather have when you're talking about Mahomes.
I think you're right. I mean, because you can have bad left guard play be compensated for with really good left tackle play. It doesn't work the other way around.
We know that from experience. Yes.
You can't flip that and have a good left guard make your left tackle better. or at least look better. That's not the way it works. So they prioritized the left end of the line because they knew that at least in the way that Patrick Mahomes plays and the way the offense is designed, that takes priority over anything else.
Yeah, I think to the game tomorrow, I think they're going to test it because I do think Chiefs are going to sling it. I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. I think the Chargers are actually going to throw the ball a lot. I don't know whether that all equates to a bunch of points, but I do think we'll see. It's counterintuitive with a Harbaugh offense. Maybe he's.
I think they're
going to
run it. I think they'll run it a lot.
Well, they always want to, but right now, what we know about the Chiefs defense, I'm attacking through the air if I can. But yeah, you always want to. The Chiefs aren't going to.
Yeah,
they're not
I'm attacking.
The Chiefs aren't going to waste their time trying to establish the run.
Yeah,
the Chargers will spend some time with that. I bet you.
If I'm them, I'm attacking their defensive line. If I'm the Chargers, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, that's where I feel like the advantage is and the deficiency is defensively. I know that outside of Trent McDuffie, there are question marks in the secondary. But, I mean, look, outside of Chris Jones, if you go on the opposite side of the field of Chris Jones, I mean, they've got Derek Nnadi, who's been with the team for, you know, a while, but they just brought him back. They didn't like him enough to re-sign him. They just brought him back, and he's only been now back with the team for like a week. And I think there are more question marks on the defensive line than there even is with the secondary. And if I've got Najee Harris and Omarion Hampton to establish the run, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I'm going to lean on that.
Yeah, I don't. We'll see. We're going to get the Chiefs tested here real quick. This defense. This will be a challenge for them. By the way, a little bit of breaking news. If you're on the east side of Wichita today, there's been a smell.
I smelled it when I left the house.
So sort of sulfury. We have an answer to that, Tommy, yeah, to what's going on there. Apparently it's asphalt.
Yeah, that's a good
joke. It's an asphalt.
We needed Max to get the
Max, where were you?
The rim shot.
It's true though.
Ready to go.
If you're wondering what that funky smell is, it is asphalt.
Yeah, I thought it was natural gas when I left the house. Like, man, this is very natural gassy in the air. My house, we live not far from that asphalt plant. And so knowing that that's what it is, I mean, not overly surprising that that's in that area.
Yeah. We got that 12 news, some investigative reporting here. This
I like how you set that up just for the, you know, 12-year-old asphalt joke.
How do you not? It smells like farts outside. It's an asphalt plant. If there was a way to work in, you know, the planet Uranus, we'd do that too. But there's not, so we won't go there. We won't do that.
I'm
we won't.
Glad.
This is a mature.
Thank you for not going.
This is a mature show.
Yeah, we're civilized people on this program.
That's right. That's right. Real quick, because I won't be here tomorrow. Cowboys Eagles tomorrow night. I'm trying to talk myself. I know I picked the Cowboys last week. I'm trying to talk myself into them having a chance. I sort of feel about the Eagles the way I do about the Chiefs this year, Tommy. I think there is a better than 50% chance they will be a better team that will almost certainly lose more games in the regular season than they did a year ago. Their schedule will be significantly harder this year. I heard a stat yesterday. Jalen Hurts averaged in the second half of the season. It was something absurd how many passing attempts he averaged in the second half last year. It was like 10 or less or something. It was by far the fewest in the NFL. And I had forgot, like, they were in cruise control in a lot of the regular. That's not going to happen for them this year. So I do think they could be a better team. I do not think they will win as many games, just like the Chiefs. I think the same thing about the Chiefs. Can the Cowboys get them? Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty surprised the Cowboys are now 8.5-point dogs in that game. That is a huge line for a divisional game in the NFC East.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Eagles are, for a defending Super Bowl champion, they're being slept on a little bit.
Yeah, they are.
Because all the attention in the NFC, at least, is in the North. And with the Micah Parsons addition in Green Bay, and with the excitement in both Minnesota and Chicago with the young quarterbacks there. And then, oh, by the way, the Lions are right there too with, you know, a lot of the same players that got them to, you know, a number one seed a season ago. A lot of the attention is in the North. I think attention is on the NFC West with the Niners and the Rams. I don't think that the Eagles are getting the kind of respect that they deserve for being the defending champions. And that's coming from a guy, I don't like the Eagles. I don't like Nick Sirianni, but I think they're being slept on a little bit.
So the Eagles lost in the offseason. Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, Darius Slay, CJ Gardner-Johnson. They don't have Kenneth Gainwell anymore. Mekhi Becton is gone. They have a ton to make up for. AJ Brown's a little older, and Saquon Barkley's coming off of a workload we don't see anymore in the NFL. They have a lot to deal with. That I also think that's being slept on. I do agree with you. They're being slept on a little bit. I think everybody's just penciling them in to be great again. I they're going to have some things defensively that they've got to overcome. And that's what I mean. Dallas, if nothing else, Dallas is going to score points this year. We'll see if they can do it in the open.
8.5 points? 8.5 points?
That's where I know that's not where we picked it. That's where it was last night when I looked. That's crazy.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, and welcome back in to the show now. Joining us on the video stream and over the air, our KU Insider, Shreya Slada, beat reporter for KU football, basketball for the KC Star. You can follow him on X at SHRE98. I see Shreyas again this week, forgot his Hawaiian shirt. We're going to get it right one of these days. But it is good to have you back, Shreyas. Either way, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
We're doing good. I don't think we need to spend, a ton of time on Wagner. I don't really know what to take away from Fresno State or Wagner. So before we look to the one everyone's really excited about through those first three games, and I'm not going to let you cop out and just say Jalen Daniels looks good because Jalen Daniels looks good. But what are you taking away from these sort of exhibition-y type games for KU?
I mean, they did exactly what they were supposed to do against opponents. Especially against Fresno State, they were dominant after that first drive where the defense gave up points. I've been pretty impressed with KU's defense. It looks better than I expected to look at this point in the year. I think they were a little sloppy at the end of the first half there against Wagner. That's something that was a little concerning because you can't have that sloppiness against Missouri as they play them this Saturday. It was a pretty impressive effort all around on all sides of the ball for KU in the last two games. They're going into important week, rivalry week. I think playing some of their best football at a good time.
You've been talking about Emmanuel Henderson for a minute now and what he can bring to the table. He showed out in the game against Wagner. It was mainly Cam Pickett in week one against Fresno State, but it was Emmanuel Henderson in week two against Wagner. And I know that was a major question mark going into the season with the departure of the top tier pass catchers for Jalen Daniels. Who is he going to have to be his weapons down the field? And I think that question has been largely answered.
Yeah, no, he was phenomenal. He was dominant. I think he had more catches against Wagner than he had in 3 years at Alabama. He told me he wanted opportunity, and he's certainly getting it at Kansas. He wanted to play wide receiver, and he's getting that chance, and he's making the most of it. I mean, two touchdowns, 130 receiving yards, six catches. That deep ball catch between Jalen and him is a thing of beauty. Nice placement by Jalen there, a nice haul by Henderson to kind of get that touchdown. But, it's going to be interesting because I think Pickett is right there on the underneath, and then Henderson's kind of the deep ball burner. That 1-2 seems to be the kind of the MO that Jalen Daniels likes and the two favorite guys he likes to pass to, it feels like, on this team.
Yeah, the offense looks good. The defense looks good. Now are they going to look good against Missouri? Let's make the transition there. I haven't seen a ton of Missouri. I just know the other, like in the opener of their opening game, I had them on a screen. I had like four, the split screens. I was like, man, they have 55 points or whatever it was, and it's not even halftime yet. I assume they'll be good. What are we expecting in this one? How do you even set expectations for a game like this?
I think you have to go in with like throwing out everything the last 2 weeks you have seen out the window. Missouri is not Missouri of last season, but I still think they're a very talented team. They have a lot of talent on both ends of the ball. I think Kansas will be competitive in this game. I don't know if Kansas will win this game, but I think it's going to be interesting because Kansas's MO on defense and the things they've struggled with over the last couple of years have been dual threat QBs. And Bo Prabhula is exactly that. I thought it was very interesting that Kansas defensive coordinator DK McDonald said he's as talented as anyone he's seen since he's come back to college football, or really when he's, you know, coached college football, which I thought was very interesting about Bo Prabhula. I've been pretty familiar with him. He was actually my first job when I was covering sports life, hunting and fishing in Central PA. He was the quarterback for York, Pennsylvania, one of those high schools there. So it's funny to kind of see it come full circle. But he's a good kid. He's got a big arm. I think he, you know, how Kansas' defense handles him is probably going to determine the game, because I think Kansas will move the ball. I think the offensive line is going to be tested, though. And I think Jalen's going to have to play his best game yet, which, you know, that means no making bad throws, no making forcing balls into tight windows. And LeSean Williams, I think, should be healthy for this game, so that'll be good for the running game. But I think it'll be a loud, crazy environment. I mean, I walked into the press conference yesterday. Before we were walking in, you could hear like the crowd noise simulator outside the stadium pretty loud. So I think they're doing everything they can to prepare for what Missouri is going to be like. And I still don't think it'll be that quiet.
Yeah. On that note, I mean, I don't think anybody can overstate the importance of this rivalry. And I even hesitate to use the word rivalry, because it's more than that. I mean, there is like deep seated century old hatred between these two programs and two universities. None of the players were in college the last time these two teams faced off. And that's been a big storyline leading up to the game. How is Lance Leipold and his staff and everybody getting these guys ready for what is going to be a hostile environment, to say the least?
Well, Lance said that, Deshaun Hanukkah, the KU tight end, said they had a video that was prepared from former Kansas players of the past to talk about the history of the rivalry starting pre-Civil War days up to obviously now, which I think players got it after that. But I think, you know, it's not even just Lance Leipold doing it. Everybody around these guys has been talking about this game for multiple weeks. I've been thinking about this game since the season started. So I can only imagine what it's like. You know, I talked to Justice Finkley at Media Day. He came from Texas, obviously played in the Red River rivalry between Texas and OU. He said, you know, like, that's my favorite game of the year every year. And, you know, I've heard a lot about Kansas, Missouri, and I'm excited to see how it matches up. I wrote about this yesterday. Laith Marjan and Finn Lappin, when they came to Kansas, when they transferred in, I guess Finn did not transfer in, but when they came to Kansas, in their orientation, one of the topics of discussion in KU football was the Kansas-Missouri rivalry. So it's been ingrained in these guys since anybody's come to Kansas. Now they get the chance to be a part of it. Now the chance to make their own history, make their own mark on it. I think they know about it. And I think, honestly, it's been very interesting to see. I mean, I've talked to so many of these guys, you know, like since Friday to now. Everybody seems to be very careful about their words. Unless you get them one-on-one, nobody seems to be giving you anything besides the cookie cutter answer to the media. And I get it. Nobody wants to give Missouri any bulletin board material that'll help them.
Yeah, look, I get it too. They look good. Kansas looks good. So Shreyas Lotta, what is your prediction for the game?
Yeah, I think I think Missouri wins this one in a close one. I think my prediction was 31-28. I think the environment in Columbia is just going to be kind of a mess for KU, I think, this early in the year. I think having Jalen Daniels and Heisman will be great, but I think it's going to be a back-and-forth affair, and I think it's going to be less than a touchdown when it's all said and done. I could see it going either way, though.
Shreyas is on X at SHRE98. Shreyas, what do you have up on the site, and what's coming?
Yeah, I have a ton of Border War stuff. I had some stuff immediately after the game against Wagner of, you know, kind of like how everyone's feeling. Yesterday I had a story come out about talking about the history of the game a little bit, and, you know, what Leipold said about guys talking to him at church about the game, telling him to kick Missouri's butt, but they didn't use the word butt. Plus kind of what some of the guys have told me even at Media Day about Kansas, Missouri. And then later today I'll have up the video breakdown I do with former Kansas quarterback Carter Stanley on Bo Prabhula and how Kansas needs to limit his dual threatness.
We're looking forward to it. Find all the work at the KC Star. Shreyas, next, just set a reminder on your phone for the Hawaiian next week.
I got to buy Hawaiian first. That's That's not even in the wardrobe anymore. I was trying to
look for it.
Once
you buy one, you'll buy 10. I'm just telling you. It's a lifestyle choice.
Yes.
Sharice, we appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
All right. There goes Sharice Lotta. And it moves us to show announcement time. Tommy, I will let you take the stage here. This is your announcement, and it's a big one for us here on Sports Daily.
Yeah, it is. I have had the opportunity to be on this show with you for, 3 years now, just past the 3-year mark. I am leaving Sports Daily, at least on a regular basis, leaving this program in the next couple of weeks. My last day on the air with you, regular day on the air, will be Friday, September 19th. It's been so much fun, you know, coming from a guy that I've been in this business for a long time. But up until joining you on Sports Daily, I had never worked in sports radio. I had always been in music radio and that sort of thing. I learned a lot about myself, learned a lot about, you know, how to do this. And it's a different breed entirely of, you know, live local radio, talking sports every morning and you know, so I'm going to miss that a lot. I'm excited. I'm staying with the Odyssey family here in Wichita. I'm being promoted, which is really exciting. And so there'll be more details on that to come. But with that promotion means I have to step away from the show and not be on the air every morning. It's been so much fun and just a blast. And I've told you this privately that I think the best part, the biggest part about this for me is that over the 3 years of being able to be on this program with you, you know, you've become one of my best friends. And so, I mean that wholeheartedly. And I love the opportunity to get a chance to talk sports with you every day. And I'm hopeful that you and I will continue to get to do that, just not on the radio. And so I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss you, Max, you know, the entire crew, all of our weekly insiders and our guests and all of that. It's definitely bittersweet.
Yeah, and I can't wait for people to hear more about the opportunity, and I echo your sentiments. Our friendship has become the coolest part of this. I've never had more fun doing this show than the last 3 years, and that's saying something, too, because I've been on here with some really great people. It has been a blast to do it, and Tommy will still be around, so it's a bittersweet thing for a lot of reasons, but we'll still, you know, be... We'll still find ways to mess with Tommy over the air. So, you know, we'll have fun with that. But, you know, with our boss here in this world, Tony and I sitting down with you a long time ago to talk about it, to see that your passion for the business is very, very clear at that point to where this has gone now. And again, more details on that as we cross T's and dot I's to our conversation earlier. It's pretty awesome. And we're all very proud of that. And I think you'll be able to talk more about that probably tomorrow on the show, but it's very cool and the show will miss you a great deal. And that sucks, but you know, away from the air, nothing changes for us. So that's the good thing. On the air, we'll still hear from you from time to time. So that will be good too. And we've still got 8 or 9 shows to go.
Yeah, here. I've got a couple more weeks left regularly on the show. I know you're out the remainder of the week, so I'll be hosting tomorrow and Friday with TJ and Brandon. I joked around that the reason I was leaving was because I couldn't stand to lose to Paul Savage in our Friday football picks for another year. That being said, though, I'm still going to do Friday football picks. So I'll be stepping in on Fridays, coming in and picking the games and all of that with you guys. So even after I'm done off the air, I'm not going to be fully away from the show.
Lots of reasons. Sick of my BS. There's lots of reasons to step away. All right, that does it for today. You don't know the real reason why Tommy will no longer be on the air? Because he refused to participate in Wine Shirt Wednesday.
I know, you're kicking me off.
That's enough.
We're done.
You're out. You're out. If you're not going to play by the rules, you got to go. We'll have more details on Tommy's departure. And you've got him teed up to give Tommy a hard time. You got about 2 more weeks to do that. So do it. We'll have TJ Cleland will be in tomorrow for me. Brandon Zinner on Friday. We'll have picks later in the week. It's all going to be fun. Tim Fitzgerald. Woo! See what Fitz has to say tomorrow. I'm excited to go back and listen on the Odyssey app to the interview with Fitz because we got to figure out what's going on there in Manhattan with K-State. But that's it for today. For Max and Tommy, Tommy, we'll keep things in line the next couple of days here.
Yeah, sounds good. Safe travels, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Sounds good, everybody. See you then.
This fall, choose Primavera Online, and you'll be choosing a school with flexibility, personalized support, and an award-winning curriculum that's over 20 years strong. Now enrolling grades K to 12 at ChooseProMavera.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to a 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.